Parsha Shelach. Now we are focusing this week on the last section in Parsha Shelach, which is on page 816. It's what we call the Parsha of Tzitzis. Okay, we say it every day in davening after Shema, the third paragraph. And it comes from here, the last section of the Parsha of the Meraglim, okay, the spies. Now, although women don't wear tzitzis, the fact that we daven, and we also say Parsha Tzitzis, means there must be enough in this Parsha of Tzitzis to be relevant to women. And of course there is, because there are many mitzvahs that even men can't fulfill. For example, if someone's not a Kohen, their mitzvahs they don't fulfill. If someone doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, their mitzvahs they don't fulfill, and yet it's a mitzvah to learn about them. And they're not putter from learning about them. So too, although we don't fulfill the mitzvah of Tzitzis because it is in the category of those mitzvahs that have a specific time frame, which means during the day. Tzitzis is only mitzvah during the day. Therefore, although we're putter because women are putter from those mitzvahs that are time bound, we still gain a lot from learning about the mitzvah. And not just the actual mitzvah of Tzitzis, but what else is included in this paragraph or this section called Parsha Tzitzis. The truth is, the reason we say the Parsha of Tzitzis every single day after Shema is not necessarily because it mentions Tzitzis, but because it mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim. So these are the five specific ideas that make it necessary for everybody to speak about Tzitzis every single day associated, you know, at the end of Shema. This is why Chazal made this section the third section of Shema, because it has within it the Parsha of Tzitzis. That's one thing. But it also has within it remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. As it says in the end, we say, Mitzrayim, right? That's in there too. Then we have in this parsha the obligation to keep, to know, and to abide by all the mitzvahs. Right? In the parsha of Tzitzis, it says that you should see the tzitzis and you should remember and do all the mitzvahs. So we have the chi of the responsibility of doing the mitzvahs. That's also in this parsha. Also, the falsity of, and this is what we're going to focus on today, the sheker, the falsity of having the wrong interpretation of life and of living and of the world, in other words, kfira, that which is considered apostasy, a lie, not the true explanation for life here, and the responsibility to avoid allowing oneself to go down those roads of thought. That is called sheker ha-kfira, the falsity of kfira, of apostasy. And the third thing is the isur on thoughts of avodah zarah, in other words, heresy, let alone, of course, we don't even speak about here the obligation to avoid avodah zarah, the violation, in other words, the sin of avodah zarah, but even the responsibility not to let our thoughts go down that road that lead to avodah zarah. So all of these things are included in what we call the Parsha of Tzitzis. And what we're going to do today is begin to get into some fundamental ideas, that questions that must be asked, and the basic approach of Judaism today of there are many different approaches to the mystery of life, why we're here, what Hashem wants, what's the tachlis. But the classical, pervasive approach is what the Ramchal brought to us, based on the writings of the Arizal. This is very fundamental, very deeply rooted now, and this approach is going to be what we're going to be discussing. And it's things you've heard before, but applied again to these psukim right here. So first of all, the first half of the Parsha of Tzitzis, right, let's read along, is clearly telling us the mitzvah of Tzitzis. And to be very quick about it, the mitzvah of Tzitzis is that when a person wears a garment, a four-cornered garment, which is supposed to symbolize the four corners of the earth, in other words, life itself, then they have to put tzitzis, these fringes, on the garment. And as you know, there's seven white strings and one blue string, which, by the way, is really three long white strings, which get looped through like the buttonhole and hang down in two groups, and one long white string, of which half is the chelus. Okay, so you have one blue string and the rest white. So you have seven white and one blue, and of course that's very symbolic. The symbolism of tzitzis, as we all know, is for that blue string, is to remind us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what are all the white strings? So Chazal speak about this as very symbolic. It's basically the idea that in this world, white is going to represent the chesed and the rachamim, in other words, the light, the sunlight, the brightness, what we associate with white, clarity, understanding, a sense of security, and one blue string, which is going to remind us of Techeles, Tachlis, the purpose, the word kol, we've spoken about that a lot, right? In other words, the Kisei HaKavod, Hashem's expectations, Midas Hadin, judgment. In other words, the one blue string reminds us that in this world full of chesed, there is still going to be the demand that we find the blue, which is that, you know, our tachlis, the purpose. But it's surrounded by chesed. It's not so easy, and we're surrounded by a lot of chesed in the process. My grandfather Rav Schwab says the following, that if we look up in space, we know, astronauts know, that despite the fact that there are billions of stars, just in our Milky Way galaxy, forget about all the other galaxies, space is still pitch black. The only reason we have light is because we have one star that happens to be close to us, 92 million miles away, which is considered close, the closest star to Earth, and it lights up our world, and the light of the sun, the white light, against the blackness of what really is space, produces the color blue. That's where the blue sky comes from. So what that means is, really, the universe is pitch black. And we will build this mashal further. We'll explain this in terms of the, you know, philosophical ideas. Really, the universe out there is black, which means we can't see. Despite the millions of stars, it's black. We don't have a full, clear grasp of it. Our Dalet Amos, our world, is lit up. And the light, when our sun lights up our world, we get the blue. The blue in the Techeles means that there's a combination of all of that which is black or unknowable, the little bit we do know, and from the little bit we know, we can remind ourselves we have enough information to come to the conclusion that there is a Kisei HaKavod, although it's not visible to us directly, it's not tangible, but there is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and there is a Tachlis, a purpose, and there is a destination that we're all working towards, and it's knowable. That's the idea of the Tzitzis, and therefore it reminds us of all the mitzvahs. And we have to do the mitzvahs. But then after the Torah tells us how we are going to be able to keep in mind that despite the fact that we live in a world that it does not openly reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's enough light here, okay, enough, that's the blue, some degree, that reminds us that there's something beyond us and that Hashem has expectations of us and to seek what that is. After Hashem tells us to keep this in mind, He warns us what is inevitably going to be the dangers, the obstacles, the pitfalls to keeping the truth in mind. Now, the way the dangers are expressed here is lo sasur achare levavchem v'achare einechem. Do not stray after your hearts and after your eyes. Okay, let's find the psukim here. It starts in 8:16. Okay. So it says here, so you're going to see the tzitzis, re'isa mosim, you're going to see them, and you're going to remember, zachartim is called mitzvah Hashem, you're going to remember all the mitzvahs, vasisa mosim, and you're going to do them. Now, so the objective is always keep in mind the truth, the bigger picture, as expressed through the mitzvahs that govern, that kind of order our life. Now, lo sasur achil levavchem, but here's the danger, do not let your heart and your eyes cause you to stray. Right? Do not let them take you off track. Laman tisku, you should remember and do all the mitzvos and be kadosh. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, which we're going to focus on. Asher hotzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim liyosechem Elokim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So twice, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, surrounding the phrase that I took you out of Mitzrayim. So the way the whole parsha is structured is keep the truth in mind. Don't fall into the trap, which is called your eyes and your heart. Remember, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's the whole purpose. That's why I took you out of Mitzrayim. And twice, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So what we're going to speak about now is Lo Sasur Achil Levavchem Achrei Einechem, and then Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Now, the question we have to ask is this. The question is, how does it come about that a person finds themselves in a world where they have strayed after their eyes and their heart? And in other words, what that means is they've come up with the wrong interpretations of life, and therefore they behave incorrectly. Because Chazal say, Lo sasur achrei levavchem, don't go after your heart. That's kfira. Kfira means you have an alternative explanation for life. You don't believe in Hashem. You don't believe in the Torah. You don't believe that Hashem is watching. You don't believe that mitzvahs and averos matter. You don't believe there's schar va'onesh, reward and punishment. How does it come to a point that a person gets there where their entire interpretation of life is incorrect? Where they're missing the big picture? How does a person get there, and how does one avoid getting there? So now, we've started already introducing here the idea that is described by the words, Kabbalistic words, simtzum, or non-Kabbalistic words of hester panim, Hashem being concealed, or words like siluk, right? Siluk is another word similar to hester panim. We spoke about the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world. This is the reality. This is what everybody has to know and everybody has to be aware of all the time. And to lose sight of this is to end up in a fantasy land of delusion, in a black bubble that blinds us completely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of everything. How is it possible that we who breathe his air and walk on his earth and eat his food and think every thought and every movement that comes out of us is directly because of the will of Hashem? How is it possible that we're not aware that Hashem is animating us? How does such a thing happen? The mashal we've given here, how is it possible that the fetus who is being kept alive every single millisecond, the mother's blood is running into the fetus through the umbilical cord, the mother is carrying the fetus from place to place, the mother's temperature is controlling the temperature of the fetus, all the nutrients are coming via the mother. How is it possible that the fetus does not know the mother? And yet it's entirely possible. That is the reality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up a world where although he is the source of everything, we don't know it. We live surrounded by some type of membrane, so to speak, or wall that precludes us from even seeing the source of our own existence, right? That's the mashal of the fetus in the womb. Now, Hashem set it up this way. The words used to describe this is the words, as we said, of hester panim. In other words, it's not logical that we, who are the living and are the animated, the reality of Hashem's ratzon, right? Hashem gives us life at all times, cannot be aware of Hashem, unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically created that. In other words, he concealed from us his all-pervasive presence so that we could have free choice. The only thing that distinguishes a human being from an animal is free choice. The word Elohim, which is the word in the first parak of Bereishis, which is constantly employed in the Bria, in the creation of the physical world of Teva. Elohim and Teva, HaTeva, by the way, the same gematria. Elohim is the creator. Okay, and when we say here, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, we're saying, I, Hashem, is saying, I am your creator. You have the same capacity as me. You are a creator. The only way a person creates is by their choice. They make a choice, and thereby they create something, they start something new. A human being is a creator. The only way a person can be a creator is if they are not a robot. The only way we cannot be a robot is if we exist freely. The only way we can exist freely is if Hashem allows for us to imagine that we are free. Although the mother always knows the fetus. It's just the fetus that doesn't see the mother. Now, that is the way the world is set up. Why? Because the greatest good of all goods comes from this, which is we are free. And we make choices. That is our Tzelem Elohim, Elohim, the creator. We are creating. Right? So that is the uniqueness of the human being. Through our choices, we create worlds, as we'll go back to the Eitz Hadas and see that in the Psukim. Our ability to create is what makes us godlike. The only way we could be like that is if we are not robots. The only way we are not robots is if we perceive that we have free choice. The only way we could perceive that we have free choice is if Hashem conceals his all-pervasive presence from us, right? So Hashem set this system up. It is a great gift. It is the ultimate chesed because it lets us be independent and choose to do what? This is what the Ramchal introduces. This is the tachlis. This is the answer to everything. This is what Ramchal talks about from 1,000 different angles. Why do we have free choice? To choose to become aware of the mother through all the endless little hints that are given. To choose to become aware of the mother, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the way he phrases it is this, that the ani of a person, the I of a person, becomes aware that it is part of, an extension of, the great ani of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we mean. When we say, when a person says, I, what do they mean when they say I? So many people would answer at first glance, and Rav Maisha explained this in Padua last year. When people say, I, Who are they? Who is the I? So many people will say, it's my neshama. But it can't be, because every single morning we say, Elokai neshama shanasata bi, the neshama you put in me. So who's me? Bi, he says, ba'ani shali, into my ani. So who's the ani? Or we say, shalo asani goy. In other words, there's the ani, and it's not a goy. But it could have been a goy. But there's an ani separate than my identity as a woman or a non-Jew or a Jew. There's a totally separate ani. So what's the ani if it's not the neshama? And therefore, what's the neshama then? So he explains the ani of a person is the yearning and the intuitive perception of a person if they let themselves think, and that's what tzitzis is supposed to be always, to remind us beyond ourselves, that the ani, our ani, has got to be part of, an extension of, a manifestation of a much greater ani that is the source, the shoresh. That yearning and seeking to understand that the little ani, me, maybe whoever I identify with me, my family and my possessions and my accomplishments, that ani is meant to expand and expand infinitely until it becomes, it knows itself to be part of and an expression of the ani Hashem Elokeichem. The ani in a person is part of the ani of Hashem. The ani, when Hashem says ani Hashem, Rav Moshe explains, that ani versus anochi is ani, Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu together is when he says ani. When he says anochi is just referring to something beyond, you know, a remote, incomprehensible, that's anochi. But when Hashem speaks ani, he's speaking me and you b'yachad, Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, and the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do we say? It's one. When the ani of a person recognizes that it exists like the fetus and the mother, not independently at all. And it sees the true word, the word we use here all the time is mitzius, the true reality, that it exists in a mother. And if that mother is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, creator of the entire Bria, and we're part of it, we are in synchrony with it. We're part of a holistic entity, a large entity of which we express an aspect of that. Each person expresses a degree of the kavod Hashem, right? The kavod Shemayim. And we only do that through our free choice, because as we've spoken about here, only a person who has the capacity to choose to reject or disgrace has the capacity to give kavod. So to put it all together again, an idea we constantly reiterate is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu concealed himself in order that to us, because the mother's always aware of the fetus, that the fetus, that us, we, in Hashem's womb, so to speak, here, okay, surrounded by darkness, right, can imagine that we're independent, so that we will have free choice, like God himself, who is free, to choose, which is our human element, to recognize, and there are many, many hints given to us along the way, that the ani, the us, the little ani, is really part of a much greater ani, and to reconnect, continuously reconnect with that bigger ani until we begin to see ourselves in every way, in every word, in every action, in every choice, as an extension, an expression of the larger ani. This is what we're supposed to do. But what's the trap that's going to happen? Lo sasur achor levavchem v'achor enechem. But because we are in, so to speak, that womb, surrounded by that wall of darkness that Hashem himself created for our free choice, there is a danger. Therein lies what is possible, what is called the Satan or the Yetzer Hara or all of those things. In other words, the possibility that a person will misinterpret their reality and believe that only what's inside that uterine wall, so to speak, is the truth, and there's nothing outside of it. And they'll begin to be a kofar. They'll reject all the truth. Hashem created the world. Hashem is involved. Hashem is watching. The Torah is true. There's reward and punishment. There's Mashiach. There's Tchiyas HaMesim. They'll ignore it all. They'll reject it all. And they'll live exclusively relating to just their Dalet Amos. That's the trap. That's the danger. It can't be separated from the Chesed. It can't be separated from the way Hashem created us, which is the only way we have free choice. It's the other side of the coin. But Hashem warns us of this trap over and over again, and this is the warning in tzitzis. Lo sasochei levavcha means don't go after your hearts, which Rashi says, first Chazal say this is kfira. This means your misinterpretations of the world. Then achrei nechem, your taivas, your desires, which are going to cause you to act in a way which is in total violation of the truth. So now we have to focus on something very important here. Rashi flips it. Rashi on Lo Sasur Achrei Levavchem, first comes your intellectual mistake, then comes your desires to conduct yourself completely in violation to God's will, to go against the mitzvahs. Okay? That's the order in the pasuk. Rashi flips it, and he says, what happens is your eyes see, and then your desires validate and legitimize. He goes backwards. What is Rashi telling us? Why is Rashi saying that the order it really works in is first you see, and then you explain. Okay, first you see from your eye in chome, eye in roe, the eye sees, the lave, and then the heart, which, by the way, interesting. This is a very important point. There was no word for mind in Torah, in Navi, in Mishnah and Gemara. There's no word for the mind. They use the word lave. The word moach, or mind, came up much, much later in history. They called thoughts the heart. That's the that they called your intellect, your thoughts, the heart, lave. They didn't have a word for moach, okay? Das, lave, different words like that. So it says, lo sochoi levavchem means don't go after, don't come to the wrong conclusions, and then don't follow your heart's desires. As we said, Rashi flips it. In order to understand what's happening here, hold on, we need a little adjustment on this thing here. Everybody flip back to the Eitz Hadas, Perek Gimel. Okay? Go back to the Eitz Hadas while I fix this. All right, everybody has it? Let's read together what the Nachash said, and what Chava, and how Rashi interprets what the Nachash said, and how Chava... I'm going to steal this from you. Let's go and look at what the Nachash said to Chava, and how Chava responded, and let's see what Rashi says. Make a chart, because this will become clear if you have a chart. Okay, there are three different results of eating from the Eitz Hadas. Okay, look in, it's on page 16. Page, it's on page 14? Yeah, okay. Okay, here's how it goes. Look at Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5, towards the bottom. The Nachash says, by the way, you know who the Nachash is? The Nachash is the Choshech. The Nachash is the Satan. The Nachash is the Yetzer Hara. The Nachash is being in the womb. It's the inevitable mistake we're going to make because we don't see the big picture and we think the Ani has nothing to do, lives independently of the Ani Hashem. Okay, that's the. It has all kinds of names, and the Nachash is one of the names for it. Okay, Nachash and Choshech are similar, and many parallels like that. By the way, Mashiach and Nachash have the same gematria, but the Nun of Nachash is 50 and is associated with the word Nofel, to fall. Because you're in the darkness and you make the mistakes, you let gravity take its course and you succumb to the mistakes. That's the Nachash. Okay. But Mashiach is the same gematria, but it's a mem and a yud. Mem is 40. 40 always represents a gestation. Something is happening here. The fetus in the darkness. And yud is the truth. Yud always represents, like yud ke vav ke, the real, the bigger picture. What's outside? Olam haba. That, there's an awareness. So Mashiach also comes from the journey, from the process of being in the darkness, but using the bechira to come to know the truth. To come to recognize that the ani is part of a bigger ani, and that's called giving kavod, being coming and deserving of kavod, because we are agents of the kavod of Hashem. And as we said, Hashem will only get kavod, will only be respected. That tzitzis, to remind us of the kisei kavod, Hashem will only be known, revered, accepted, understood to the degree that we make that happen. We have within our hands, so to speak, the fate of Hashem. Only a person who can reject can give kavod. When you impose upon people, you force them to give you kavod, it's not called kavod, it's called intimidation, it's a farce. It's the opposite of kavod, it's a humiliation. Hashem wants us to come to be aware that we are an extension of, through our bechira chafshis, right? So look at this. The Nachash says to her, the Nachash, the Medrash says, it's a satan, right? It's not a talking snake, it's a satan. So he says three things. The day you eat from it, which means the day you indulge. Eating from it means, as we know here, imagining that you live alone in that womb and there's nothing else. Okay? You know, succumbing to what you see. So he says, the day you eat from it, three things are going to happen. V'nipkechu einecham, write this in a chart, your eyes will open. V'hayisem kelohim, you're going to think you're God. Yodei tovara, knowing good and bad. Okay? So three things. First, what does he list first? eyes, then you're going to think you're God, that's your intellect, then you're going to make your own determinations what's good and bad. So who does he go? He's like Rashi, right? Rashi, like the Nachash says, the eyes, then the intellect is going to interpret and justify what you just saw, and then you're going to have your own totally individualized point of view, which is called, you're going to be subjective, you're going to be the determiner of good and bad, which is going to be trapped, kidnapped by your own perception of things. It's not going to be a reflection of the truth at all. Okay, look what happens with the Isha. And look what Rashi says. So, the Vatera Ha'isha, and the woman sees, Ki Tov Ha'etz L'machol, that the tree is good to eat. What does Rashi say on that? Look in Rashi Vav. Ki Tov Ha'etz, the tree is good, Rashi says. Liyos Kelokim. That was the Nachash second point. When first Ha'isha, the woman, associates, what appeals to her is the second point of the Nachash, which is that she will make all kinds of explanations, interpretations of life. That's what happens first with her. Then what happens? V'chitava hu le'enayim, that it's very desirable for her eyes. What does Rashi say? Like the Nachash said, and your eyes will open. And then the third one, knowing good and bad. So what happens? The Nachash says your eyes will open, you'll see what you see, and you'll become like God, which Rashi says, creators of worlds. You'll create an entire world. In other words, you'll interpret what you see and create an entire world of fantasy that doesn't exist based on what you see. So first will come what you see and what you want, and then you'll develop a whole philosophy around it. That's what the Nachash said. But when the Isha contemplates eating, it's reverse. She says, first I'll be like God, then my eyes will open up, my eyes will kick in. Go back to Parshat Tzitzis. What does the Pasuk say? What comes first? Don't go after your intellect and after your eyes. That's like Isha. What does Rashi do? He goes back to the Nachash and says, no, the eyes come first and then the intellect. What is happening here? By the way, this is courtesy of Ari Bergman, also a Talmud of Rav Moshe Shapira. I heard about a year ago from him. What is happening here? What's happening here is the reality and our spin on the reality. The Nachash and Rashi are telling us the reality, and the warning in the Parsha of Tzitzis and the Isha's interpretation is our spin on reality. The Torah is warning us according to how we do things, but the Nachash and Rashi are telling you what really is going on. What really happens is this. A person is, Hashem is concealed from us. That's the reality. And by the way, Hashem takes achrayas for that. He tells us to offer him a carbon chatas on his behalf because of this. Okay, but this was the way Hashem set up the world, that Hashem is concealed from us. Because of that, what the Nachash tells us and what Rashi tells us is we are going to, at first, you know, and when we start to evaluate the world, see the physical world around us, and we are physical creatures, and we are going to want to indulge in all the pleasures that the world has to offer, which are numerous. Why are there so many? Why are there 15,000 species of palm trees, and et cetera, et cetera? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu created an enormous world, and each aspect of it is a degree, an element of the Echad, the oneness of Hashem, in a million different expressions, endless expressions. And every human being is another expression of that. So we're going to see what the world has to offer physically, reality. And the first thing that's going to hit us is how it appeals to us. And we're going to want it. We're talking about real simple desire for pleasure, for satisfaction, for objects, for experiences, food, physical pleasure, all of those things. Because we want those things, and they're urgent, and they're physically satisfying, and we can relate to them in a tangible way through our senses, we're going to start relating to the world that way. That is what's really going to happen. That's what he says, v'nipkechu einechem, your eyes are going to see your world inside your little womb, inside your little bubble. You're going to see your world, and you're going to respond to it directly. Okay? But here's the problem. Into your world, there are millions of little kind of like pores that the light from the bit out there is coming through. In other words, there's a lot of indications that there's a mother out there, that it's not so simple and it's not so limited. And you need to draw back a little bit and ask the big questions, which is called to seek, to be mevakesh. It's not just about the pleasures that I indulge in right now, and we know that the more a person indulges in the immediate pleasures, the more miserable they get. Because it cannot be that this is what life is all about, because then you might as well not even live. Live, have pleasure, die, so what's the point of living anyway? There's got to be something bigger. Everybody is seeking a greater truth, greater than themselves, to devote themselves to. So what will happen, though, is, what could happen is, although Hashem is built into the system, that self-indulgence is self-destructive, and narcissism destroys itself, and the more people indulge only in themselves, the more miserable they are. Even though that is built into the system, what could happen is, The next thing that could happen, as the Nachash is saying, is you will start interpreting the world to allow yourself everything, to validate everything, and to make yourself feel better about living like this. You'll find entire philosophical systems which you know, excuse and explain and validate and soothe you so that you could continue living like this, even though you won't even be happy necessarily. But you'll build worlds. So the Nachash is saying your eyes will open, and then you're going to be like God, creators of worlds. But the world you create is a fantasy world. It doesn't exist. It only exists in your mind and your imagination. It's not the truth. And in that false world that you live in, you are going to then become the ultimate judge, Unkelus says, of good and bad. Okay, that's what the Nachash is saying. That's how it really is. But we, as human beings, and this is what the Torah is warning us, and this is what Isha is responding to, we don't even like to admit that we're so drawn to the physical immediate gratification, and that's why we're reinterpreting the world or misinterpreting the world and ending up in a false reality. We don't even want to say that. We say no. We've studied the world and we've concluded that this is the reality is such and such. There is no God, or God is not involved, or the Torah is outdated. And because through our studies, our objective studies, we've concluded that this is the interpretation of life, therefore we're entitled to behave such and such. It's much more mechubad. It's much more honorable. It means we're individuals, we're human, we're intellectuals, we've thought it out. And therefore, because of our conclusions, we're entitled to behave like this. That's how we spin it. But Rashi's telling us, no, it's not how it is. And the Nachash, which is the truth, is telling us that's not how it is. Now, here's the thing. We live in this world. We said that the tachlis is that everybody has an ani, and it's not our neshama. The ani is the natural, embedded seeking and yearning of a person to know what's out there, what's bigger than me, who am I living in, who is my mother. Every single human being on earth is hardwired to ask this question. I once asked my grandfather, what about someone who was never introduced to Torah? What about a non-Jew? You know, what is their achrayas? He said, every human being created by Tzelem Elokim is already conditioned to want to know the answers to these questions. And I'm not saying they're going to get the right answers, but to ask the question. And when the answer they get is a total outright lie, that eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow you may die because your life is purposeless and worthless, they're not supposed to accept that answer. To be a Mevakesh Hashem, that's the objective. And Hashem has built it in already for us to want to do this. Now, this is the trap that we end up in, and it could be an inevitable thing because we're in, as we said, a world that is dark. Now, what's the solution to this? So we've spoken about this before. The solution is that every single human being will go through a process analogous to the birth of the fetus, in which it will then come face to face with the mother, and therefore Chazal called the womb a kever, a grave, because every human being will exit this world of delusion and come face to face with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And like the brothers of Yosef, as we've spoken about, two words, Ani Hashem, and then what happens? So here's what we call Gehenim and Gan Eden. Rav Moshe explains in Re'e Emunah, his Sefer on the 13 Ikrim, the idea that Rambam establishes that these ikrim are the realities. They're like saying to the fetus, here's what you need to know. You need to know there's a mother. The mother is what's keeping you alive. The mother cares what, you know, for your health and for your well-being. Soon you will meet the mother. There's certain ikrim. That's the ikrim, the fundamentals of faith. If a person is not aware of the ikrim, it's what we call nebuch and apikoros. By accident, it's not their fault, but they're still living in a world of delusion. They're living in a fantasy world. If they're not aware of the truths, then unfortunately they are living in a false reality. Now the brothers of Yosef lived for 22 years in a delusion. And that's why when the truth faced them, they didn't even see it. Now, when we pass through the kever, there will be a time, we've talked about this, it's called tshuva. Remember the Rambam? That's tshuva for every neshama. when the human being comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before the Shekhinah, every human being, Jew and non-Jew, everybody faces the Shekhinah. The Medrash says, no neshama leaves the body in this world until it sees the Shekhinah. It comes in front of the Shekhinah, and however this happens, two words, Ani Hashem. Here's what can be. If a person, even by no fault of their own, lived in a delusion, in a bubble, in fantasy, all of a sudden, they don't live in that fantasy land anymore. They're in the world of truth. They see now what they couldn't see before. They see the whole picture. And they realize that the delusion they lived in was strictly their world that they built with their imagination. That's why we say at a funeral that the neshama of so-and-so, Asher Halach Le'olamo, to his world that he built from his interpretations of life. Everyone builds their own world. And that world may not exist in reality. The fire of Gehenna, it's not a real fire. Our fire here is a mushel. Is the notion of fire is that fire consumes and destroys what 5 minutes earlier was in existence. Now it doesn't exist. The idea of Gehenna is that when a person gets a glimpse of the true reality that they blocked themselves off from, then their fantasy land vanishes instantly and they see the truth. And that's the fire, the perception of truth that comes at a person instantaneously, and they realize that all their interpretations were mistaken. Now, we have to end in one moment because we have a special surprise, but Gan Eden or Schar is when person comes face to face with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and they said, I couldn't see you, but I knew you were there. I was davening, I was doing mitzvahs. Now, here's the main idea, the last thing I want to leave you with. The womb of a mother, this is the mashal, is a rechem. Rechem is the word machar, tomorrow. Rechem is the shorish of the word rachmanus. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows our predicament. Rachmanus comes from mercy on somebody's unfortunate predicament. Unlike chesed. Chesed is totally different. Chesed is like Avraham, he just was so overflowing with bracha and hakaras hatov, he just looked for someone to do good to. Mercy, rachmanis, is when somebody's in an unfortunate predicament and that makes us feel bad for them. The rechem, this predicament we're in, that's rachmanis, it also is mahar. There's always tomorrow. A person can be blind today, live in a fake reality today, but tomorrow they'll wake up. Tomorrow they'll redeem themselves. Tomorrow they'll realize that yesterday's reality was a delusion. In fact, Rav Saad Yagaon, Rav Moshe said, Rav Saad Yagaon used to say vidoy every day because yesterday's reality to today's reality was a delusion. As he grew and understood more and more, so Hashem understands our predicament, and Hashem has rachmanis on us, and we are in this predicament because that's why Hashem set up the world. If we're lucky enough to have a Torah, to know the ikrim, to have a chinuch, then we don't get lost in the trap, and we use this reality, this predicament for bechira, to bring kavod to Hashem. But if nobody gives us a chinuch, and we're isolated from Torah, and we don't know the ikrim, and people tell us the ikrim aren't true, then what we're stuck, we have Hashem as rachmanas on us. Hashem as rachmanas on us, and even a person that goes through the life without knowing the true mitzias, the true reality, and comes face to face, so to speak, after the kever, in the birth. And Hashem says, Ani Hashem, and the whole fantasy vanishes, and that's called a fire. And the first person feels terrible, that's also the fire of embarrassment. There's a rehabilitation process. It's called Gehenna. It's not anger and retribution. It's teaching the person the metzias that they deluded themselves from, or which was withheld from them. The surprise is that there is a woman sitting here among us, I'm going to call up in 2 minutes, and that is at the forefront. This is Celie Schneider, who you know, many of you know. She's at the forefront of restoring to much of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael the truth, the emes, the metzias that they have not been given, that the real explanation of life that has been withheld from them. She, as you know, is in charge of an organization called Kesher Yehudi. It's not a fundraiser, by the way. It's Kesher Yehudi, which focuses strictly on a particular segment of society, which is the students, the students in the universities, 34 universities in Israel, the students. They are the future. They are the elite. They are the ones who are getting educated. So this is her particular future. She provides for them primarily chavrutot, which is one-on-one connections with religious people. And, of course, many other programs, Shabbatonim and holiday programs and all kinds of stuff. I just want to tell you that I was introduced to Tzilia years ago by Jonathan Rosenblum. You might know him. He writes in a lot of the Jewish publications. And he said, you have to meet this woman. You're going to like her. And from that time on, we've, Baruch Hashem, been friends, and I'm incredibly impressed. I want to tell you a couple of things. I want Tzilia to talk to you for 5 minutes on the same theme we were just talking about. It is a zechus to have this person here. Tzili is in the forefront of the biggest movement of Kirov in Eretz Yisrael. She was working with huge numbers, and not just is she working now with very large numbers, there's a new project that has an enormous budget and is looking at enormous numbers, hundreds of thousands through the years, and they have come to Tzili to run this program. It's a big Kirov outfit in Eretz Yisrael that has an enormous budget, does many other things. They have a new idea, a major idea, and they have asked Tzili to run it. The big idea that they are working with is that there are so many frum people today, and this is very much because of her efforts, that are aware and have rachmanis on the people who have no Torah education. It's not like it was 50 years ago where the Haredi camp in Israel was terrified of the chilonim. And they thought that if they talk to one, they'll lose their, you know, they'll become goyim, I don't know. They want to reach out to them. They want to be close to them. We are one nation. And the Haredim in Eretz Yisrael, like in America here, want to contribute. But the problem is, where do you find the Chiloni to do something for? Like, where do you find them? So what they're planning is a huge center, a virtual center, where every Haredi that has something to contribute, they can give a shir, they can host for Shabbos, they can drive someone who's giving a shir, they could be a chavruta, they could recruit people, they could bring people to a holiday program, they can host a holiday meal. Any Haredi, any Orthodox Jew who has something they want to do and wants to contribute, registers and is trained by them. And any Chiloni that wants any type of connection with religion on any level, registers, and they will put together many people, and this will, you know, affect an enormous amount of people. I want to tell you one story, and then Celie's going to tell you an amazing story about what is going on in Eretz Yisrael today, under the radar. So what happened was, remember in Beit Shemesh a few months ago, there was so Yediot Achronot wrote an article really speaking negatively about the Haredim. They're parasites, they're stupid, they're going backwards, they're destroying the country. They wrote an article in Yediot Achronot. They started getting letters from people that said, I am a Chiloni, and you're misrepresenting the Haredim because Yeshli Chavruta Haredi, Yeshli Chaver Haredi, Bizalonachon. It's not true the way you're talking about it. They started getting a bunch of letters, a whole bunch of letters. So they called Tzili and said, who are you? What is Kesher Yehudi? What's going on? Tzili came here on a plane like 2 weeks later. And she gave them an interview on Yediot Achronot, on the internet version. She gave a whole interview. A couple weeks later, she's on a plane coming here, and two stewardesses, oh, are you that Tzili Schneider from the interview in? Okay. After this, a few things started to pick up. There's a tichon, a high school in Tel Aviv called Beit Sefer Blech, Tichon Blech. It's the biggest, most prominent, totally secular high school in Eretz Yisrael. A couple thousand students. They called Tzili and they said, we want to introduce our students to Haredim of your sort, of the Kesher Yehudi sort. Please come. Bring a kvutza of religious people, and we're going to have a session, a seminar, 3 hours, twice, 4 hours, two times. We want to hear. She came. They invited them. There is a thirst. They want to know, what is it? You know, just like when you tell a frum Jew, if you misrepresent that all goyim are stupid and drunkards and ganavim and rotzim, you know, murderers, and then you meet a non-Jew and they're intelligent and moral, then all of a sudden you don't believe anymore what they told you. So when you tell a Chiloni that the Haredim are all stupid and backwards and parasites and horrible and, you know, eventually they meet one nice Haredi and they don't believe you anymore and they want to know, who are the Haredim? This is what's happening. She is at the forefront of this. She's working with thousands of students. This is going to explode into something even bigger. I want her to come up here, just talk about the Matzav in Eretz Yisrael for a minute and tell you an amazing story, totally monumental, I think, turning point in Eretz Yisrael is about to happen in a couple of weeks, that she is at the center of. And she'll talk in Hebrew, and I'll try to explain a little bit in English.
Okay, Hebrew.
Is Hebrew okay?
Okay. Toda rabba lachem shatem mokshivot. Acharei kazoti sicha filosofit amuka al ha-darkness ve'al ha-dor ve'al ha-choshech, ze kashe li bichlal leosif mashu, aval... קודם כל אני רוצה לספר לכם שאני לא בניתי את קשר יהודי, אלא אסתר בנתה את קשר יהודי. אנחנו לא חברות, אני מרגישה שותפות ביחד, אמיתיות אמיתיות, למשהו גדול מאוד 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 גדול שקורה היום בעם ישראל. אנחנו שותפות לאחריות, ואני רוצה שתעזרו לי גם אתם ותשתתפו איתי גם אתם. אני רואה פה חלק פרצופים מוכרים, ואני מנסה לשתף את כל עם ישראל, כי אני באמת חושבת שזה זמן של חושך וזה זמן קשה, והקושי בעם ישראל שאנחנו נמצאים עכשיו זה השנאה אחד אל השני, שמתחיל מחוסר ידע, שמתחיל מחוסר הכרה.
She just said that the big problem is this lack of this hatred that you hear about, that is also very media generated, not necessarily on an individual level, that comes from just not having no קשר to each other and no understanding of each other's lifestyles.
אני גדלתי במאה שערים, כן? גם אני קיבלתי חינוך לא נכון על יהודים אחרים, על חילונים. גם אני בבית יעקב קיבלתי חינוך שחילוני הוא כך וחילוני הוא כך וחילוני הוא כך. ולאט לאט עם השנים שלי, לא רק שהחילוניים מכירים את שומרי תורה ומצוות, גם שומרי תורה ומצוות מתחילים להכיר את היופי שיש בכל יהודי חילוני. חילוני, דתי, את היופי, את העומק, את החיפוש אמת שיש לכל יהודי. ואני ממש מרגישה שאנחנו הצלחנו, ברוך השם, בשנתיים שלוש האחרונות, לשבור התחלה של סדק, של שבר, בקיר בטון הזה, שיש בין חילוניים ובין דתיים. וזה כל כך חשוב, בגלל שחילוני הוא רואה בדתי את כל הקודש ברוך הוא נמצא בצד של הדתיים, התורה בצד של הדתיים, לפעמים גם ארץ ישראל בצד של הדתיים, קיום מצוות בטח בצד של שבת של הדתיים, הוא מרגיש את עצמו בצד השני. וכשאנחנו מתחילים לשבור את החומה הזאת בין דתיים וחילוניים, לאט לאט חילוני מרגיש יותר קשור לקודש ברוך הוא. זה לא רק לעוד יהודי. הקשר עם בן אדם דתי עושה אותו מקושר יותר אל הקודש ברוך הוא, ולכן...
So Cecily said that she, being raised in Mea Sharm and going to the regular Haredi schools, was misinformed. You know, the chinuch was wrong. They were told the chilonim, like, you should be afraid of them. If you speak to them, if you involve with them, you'll give up your Judaism. And the chilonim are misinformed about the Haredim completely also. And this creates a wall, and she's breaking down the wall, not to bring them closer to Haridiyut, you know, but to Hashem, because they feel that they are outside of the whole world of Torah, that Shabbos is for the Haredim, and mitzvahs are for the Haredim, and everything's for the religious, and who are they? They're putter, or it's not for them. So this is the, yeah.
את הקשר הזה אנחנו בונים, כמו שאסתר אמרה, על ידי חברותות או על ידי שמזמינים אותם. אני רוצה לשתף אתכם, קודם כל, מחר, ביום, אני לא סיפרתי לך, ביום שני בבוקר יש לנו יום סיום גדול בשלוש מכינות קדם צבאיות שהיינו איתם בקשר כל השנה, זה המסיבת סיום.
Oh, okay. One of the projects Seely does, which is astonishingly, like, you know, progressive, she got herself into, and her lecturers, into the pre-military academies. Three pre-military academies. Now, the elite, who are going to eventually be the officers, etc., they have a year of pre-military training.
The leaders.
The leaders. Okay. So she did a full year curriculum of Yahadut in three pre-military academies. It's unheard of. These places are bastions of secularism. And she gave them
and
not just...
And it comes from them. They ask me to come. Okay? זה החידוש הגדול. אני לא באתי אליהם, הם באו אליי. הם היום מבקשים אותנו.
Tell the story about the kibbutz.
עכשיו, המכינות האלה, we work with them all this year, ואנחנו עשינו בה, יש לנו ובסייט ופייסבוק פייג', אוקיי? ואנחנו בפייסבוק הזמנו כל מיני צעירים שרוצים לבוא לחנוכה, לראות בית יהודי, לראות מה זה חנוכה בתור יהדות, כן? איך עושים חנוכה ואיך שמחים בחנוכה, ועל מה שמחים ועל מה מדליקים נר. והיה הרבה חילוניים צעירים שבאו, עשינו חמש, כל בית קיבל חמש סטודנטים, והם היו ביחד, עשו מסיבה קטנה, אוקיי? ואז כתבו לנו בפייסבוק, זה לא חוכמה שאתם קוראים לנו לבוא אליכם. אנחנו רוצים שאתם תבואו אלינו.
Okay. So through Facebook and different, through her teaching in the Mechinot and the students in the college, she invited everyone to join a Hanukkah program, which the 5 students at a time would be invited by a religious family to experience Hanukkah, and then there'd be a program afterwards. So this was successful. There were many people. And then they got a message from 2 people. Ephraim?
אחד מגשר עזיב ואחד מראש הנקרא. זה קיבוצים מאוד 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 חילוניים, שמי שנכנס לקיבוץ שם צריך לחתום, שאף פעם לא יהיה בית כנסת ואף פעם לא יהיה מקווה בקיבוץ.
So she got a message from 2 students, from 2 חילוני קיבוצים, one in Rosh Hanukkah, one in Gesher Atziv. Super חילוני, that you have to sign a document when you enter the kibbutz. You will never ask the kibbutz for bet knesset, for kosher food, for Shabbos. Zero. It's asur. They called her and they said, we want to invite you to our houses.
And they thought maybe I would be in shock or something like this. Okay. And then I say, yes, I'm coming. I will be, yeah. Now they have to organize it, okay? And I said, we have only few things between, not, we are the same. First of all, we are the same. We are Jewish, we have the same history, we have the same heritage, we have the same Isurei Redifa Golus, okay? We have the same everything. We are only few things, we are different, okay? We need Sefer Torah for Shabbat. We need kosher food. We need to be separate. If you can do for us to be comfortable with our few things, it's fine. So they said, yes, we want to do it. And Bezrat Hashem, on, I think it's
first
August 8th.
No, right? No, September 8th.
September 8th, yes. It's the first Shabbos on Elul, right?
Mm-hmm.
The
second.
Okay? It's September 8th. We are going few families. I mean, it will be around 20 families, Orthodox, very, very firm, going to these 2 kibbutzim for this Shabbos. Maybe we decide to be on 1 kibbutz. All the other kibbutz will come because they are very close. And we are going to do this Shabbos. I think it's something new. I mean, something happened. And you have to know it's much because of this.
I'm going.
Okay? Okay? It's a big revolution. It's a big movement. And she is the head.
No,
okay?
I'm not. Jewish.
No, she gave me my power. Okay, it's
so stupid. It's not even funny. We raised a little money to start off, and now it's enormous.
No. It's not the money. It's not the money. The money is very important, but this is not the main thing. She gave me all my power.
Oh,
all my,
stop it.
All
okay.
My chazon.
So stupid. Okay, listen.
Okay,
Steely. The main thing is that Steely, as you can see, crazy monumental things are happening in Eretz Yisrael that have never happened before. And the Chilonim are looking to, they are in the womb and they want to know what's beyond. There's something beyond.
So we have in my computer, we have now 3,000 names. They want us to be in touch with them, okay? New names that I didn't show.
Brand new names from the few last few months. This
okay. זה עכשיו 3,000 איש שהם מחכים לנו שאנחנו נתקשר אליהם וניצור קשר. החילונים אומרים, זה לא אמת מה שאמרתם. על הדתיים, זה לא נכון, אנחנו רואים אנשים אחרים, אנחנו רואים היום את התורה באור אחר. אני חושבת פה באמריקה זה לא אותו דבר. בן אדם חילוני לא קיבל פה חינוך נגד התורה, חס ושלום, ולא נגד הקודש ברוך הוא. בארץ זה כן. אנשים חילוניים קיבלו חינוך נגד התורה ונגד הקודש ברוך הוא. וכשהם פוגשים באנשים שומרי תורה ומצוות, הם אומרים, וואו, משהו פה לא בסדר, כן? משהו פה לא נכון. We got the wrong information, something wrong. והקשר הזה מוליד קשר וקשר וקשר, ופשוט בונה מחדש את עם ישראל.
Okay, we have to end, but I want to say 2 things. One beautiful piece of Torah from Rav Moshe Shapiro from this trip that we just came back from. He explained that the Mabul, after the Mabul, Hashem promised not to destroy the world, but he made a keshet, which is very close to the word kesher. And to, just a nugget. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in Shemayim and the rainbow is a bow, think of a bow and arrow, so it's backwards, right? Hashem is there and the bow is facing earth. So the line of the bow, where is it? It's in our hands. So he said, why the keshet is a symbol. It's a lesson. Just like the bow. The more you pull back that line out of its symmetry, right, when you're pulling an arrow back, the more with more force that you pull away from, you know, from the center, that's the force of the trajectory that's going to shoot it backwards. To the degree that our mistakes, our delusions, our misinterpretations of the world pull us or force us away, that's the force that's going to drive us backwards. And Hatzili is harnessing the force of this force that's already there. Now, listen, anybody who wants to, we have many people in this group who have Hatzili, who've participated and have been into Eretz Yisrael to some of these programs that she has made. And if you're in Eretz Yisrael at the right time, Chanukah or any of the Yom Tovim, there's often a program going on where the chavrutas are either meeting each other for the first time, or there's a introductory program for the students, or some type of program. Or Rav Moshe Shapira is very involved. He's a big fan, and he helps her and speaks for her a lot. The point is that if anybody here would like to, you know, get to know this program more, participate in Eretz Yisrael in some of the programs, Tzili tonight is going to be in my home speaking more about what's going on in Kesher Yehudi. If anybody would like to come at 9:30, very quick, 45 minutes, because it's late and everybody's too busy, you're more than welcome to come. I would like you to come if you'd like to have a little chelek in it, if you'd like to go to some of the programs when you're in Israel and see what's going on. This is the center, the epicenter of the biggest thing happening in Kirov, in Achdus and Eretz Yisrael, bringing people back together and creating a kesher. It's very exciting. Baruch Hashem, we have a little part of it.
Okay.
And we hope to increase it. My address is 1 Harborview West, corner of Rockwell Road. Okay. Okay.